To my Israelite kinsmen, greetings, and may the divine influence be with you. This is part 8 of all the verses on Saved. You can follow along with the article by going to www.thinkoutsidethebeast.com. Saved is in the Word Studies menu. We are seeing in this study, as well as all the other Word Studies, that the churches and denominational so-called Christianity just does not go by Scripture. The amount of different versions of Christianity, doctrines, paths to salvation, and deviations from the Word is staggering. It is amazing how people do not even consider that every one of these alternate versions are all jots and tittles, additions and subtractions, and tampering of the Word of Elohim. None of the 33,000 so-called Christian faiths are authorized and accepted by Yahweh. They are all called by another name. They all teach what is not in Scripture. They all do not teach what is in Scripture. They have the identities of the people in Scripture backwards. They call upon titles and false gods rather than Yahweh and Yeshua. And they all lead mortals into the ditch and their judgment to the fires of Gehenna, where the worm dieth not. This is because they chose not to listen to the watchmen who warned them. They chose not to study using the many study tools available. They chose not to listen to the divine influence which is in all the children of Jacob, or the law on their hearts, and they would rather sit in a pagan temple filled with ignorant sinners who do not know who they are or whose they are, and listen and believe everything the servant of Satan in the pulpit is spewing at them. Even if he isn't lying and deceiving on purpose, he is still spreading the untempered mortar all over his helpless flock, because he has been trained by devils in the seminary school, or is one of those preachers who has been called by God to preach, only he wasn't called by Yahweh. He was called by demons, which love to abide in souls that are not grounded in the true Word. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Yahweh is not kidding when he says what he says. Now the sad thing is that most of these people are condemned already, because they will never see or hear the truth. Their hearts and minds are seared, and they have made their choice already. They believe what they believe, and that's that. Plus, they are saved, and they will not give that up. But there are some who are drowning in the 501c3 counterfeit religion Jewish matrix of deceit that can and will take the truth pill and wake up. It's up to those of us who have been blessed to see the truth and bring it to them and let Yahweh sort out whom he will have respond. Have you ever thought about how grieved Yahweh is on Sundays? Sunday, which is not always the day the Sabbath falls on every year, is when a great many of our people attend these pagan rituals and sacrifice their souls to Baal. They are religious about attending every sun god day and put their hour in, never learning anything about Scripture, but everything about Jewish propaganda. They are trained on how to ensure that the Holy Spirit never abides in them. This is no joke. What these so-called Christians are doing when they proclaim they are saved and worship Jewish Jesus and tell others about how to join their cult religion is they are mocking Christianity, mocking Yahweh, and damning themselves because they know not what they do. They've given up their inheritance and identity, and accepted the status of a Gentile, and unwittingly support the devil and his Jewish children, who hate our God, our people, and everything he created. That's why the Jews have to pervert everything good and pure. They won't be satisfied until they corrupted mixed, and defiled everything. When Christ returns, will he find any righteous and loyal saints? The devil wants to be able to say, "Where are all your children? These are all mine. See, they worship me. Where are yours?" 1 Thessalonians 2:16. The Jew Pharisees, forbidding us to speak to the dispersed nations of Israel that they might be saved, or preserved, or delivered, to fill up their sins always, for the wrath has come upon them to the utmost. John 7:35 reads, "Then said the Jews among themselves, Where will he go, that we shall not find him? Will he go unto the dispersed among the Gentiles, and teach the Gentiles?" The word should actually be Greeks in both places. Gentile does not mean non-Jew. It simply means nation, kinsmen of the same race. In this case, some of the dispersed of Israel from the Babylonian captivity settled in Greece. Paul was the apostle to the nations, the dispersed, uncircumcised nations of Israel. 1 Thessalonians 5:8. "But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of belief and love, and for a helmet, the expectation of salvation," or deliverance. The breastplate of faith is allegiance to the right belief. The helmet is salvation. If we stand for his ways, we can expect to be delivered. Verse 9, "For Elohim has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation," or deliverance, "by our Prince Yeshua Christ." The last part in the original Greek reads, "But for the acquisition of preservation through our Prince Yeshua Christ." 1 Thessalonians 5:21. "Prove," or scrutinize, "all things. Hold fast that which is good," or right. 1 John 4:1 reads, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of Elohim, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." We must also understand that most of the preachers in the churches today, though well-meaning, are deceived by the education in the seminary schools which are controlled by the enemy. Or they repeat the errors they were taught, or just simply lean on their own understanding. Remember Saul before he was Paul? He was an Israelite who was brought up as a Pharisee. They were teaching the doctrines of men, just like today's churches teach these same false doctrines. That's why Christ rebuked them. That's why Christ will rebuke the churches, the pastors, and the people who are indoctrinated by these Jewish lies. Verse 22, "Abstain from all appearance of evil," or from every sort of wickedness. "And the very Elohim of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray Elohim your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved," meaning to keep one in the state in which he is, "blameless unto the coming of the Prince Yeshua Christ." Occasionally, the King James uses the correct word, preserved. We keep seeing statements of preservation, being blameless until Christ's return, continuing doing his instructions, so you may be confirmed in the end, to deepen our understanding of the truth so we are not deceived. 2 Thessalonians 2:10, "And with all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved," or preserved. "And for this cause Elohim shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie." People love their church. It's what they've always done. It's comfortable. They believe every word out of their preacher's mouth. Jesus is a Jew, you are a Gentile, just believe, and wait for the rapture, that you get to choose to be saved, and homos and mixed couples are tolerated. A strong delusion is the doctrine of today's churches. They are drowning in deception and false doctrine, and believe the English perversions over the original languages. Verse 12, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. 1 Timothy 4:1 reads, Now the Spirit speaks expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, or allegiance, or the belief, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, which is Judaism and Judeo-Christianity, and any of the other 33,000 so-called Christian denominations. Verse 13, But we are bound to give thanks always to Elohim for you, brethren, beloved of the Prince, because Elohim has, from the beginning, chosen you to salvation, or deliverance, in sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Sanctification is purity, godliness, and set-apartness. This is an ongoing practice. If one claims to be saved, then they are claiming that they have completed godliness. 2 Thessalonians 3:1 Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Prince may have free course and be extolled, even as it is with you, and that we may be protected from disgusting and wicked men, for all men have not faith. The Greek is very different for the last part of verse 2. It should read, since the belief is not for all. Faith is the belief. Christ will establish you when you have the belief. Romans 15:31 reads, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, meaning the Canaanites and Edomites and deceived Israelites, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, meaning the true and practicing Israelites. And Acts 28:24 reads, And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. Continuing with verse 3, But the Prince is trustworthy, who shall strengthen you, and keep, or guard, or preserve you from evil. And we have confidence in the Prince concerning you, that you both do and will do the things which we instruct you. Were the apostles instructing people to just believe? To come up to the stage and get saved? No. They were teaching imitation of Christ by action and lifestyle. In Thessalonians, we see that the Jews do not want our people to know and understand the truth, because they know that by it we are guarded and preserved. That is why they pervert everything and create all these denominations and false doctrines to have the appearance of Scripture, but is not Scripture. Their efforts are almost flawless, because almost every so-called Christian believes they are saved because they've accepted Jaime Jesus. That when we hold the belief, we are sanctified and preserved in this life. If we continue to stand in the truth and observe our heritage and instructions, we will be blameless. We see that throughout Scripture, it is Yahweh that chooses us. So if we are claiming that we are saved, then we don't understand that it's not up to us. Declaring oneself saved is declaring that you are delusional. That the belief is not for all, and those that do and will continue to do that which Yahweh has commanded will be preserved. 1 Timothy 1:15 This is a trustworthy saying, and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Yeshua came into the society to save, or make whole, or preserve sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul knows he did wrong to the children of Israel, his own kinsmen, and it's possible he feels that he was the first of the worst to be forgiven after the ascension of Christ. 1 Timothy 2:1. I exhort, therefore, that, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of Yahweh Elohim, our Savior, or Deliverer, Rescuer, Preserver. Romans 12:2 reads, And be not conformed to this society, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of Elohim. Verse 4, Who desires all men to be saved, or preserved, and to come unto the full knowledge of the truth. This is a conditional verse. Yahweh wants, or desires, us to be preserved in this life by coming to and living in the truth. The truth that we are the descendants of Jacob and have a duty to be the light of this corrupt society, to proclaim and demonstrate true Christianity. If you think that you are saved, then you have not come to the full knowledge of the truth. You are relying on false promises of church doctrine. This is not good and acceptable to God. 1 Timothy 2:13. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, was in the transgression. The Greek has the ending as, the woman being deceived when the transgression occurred. Eve was beguiled by the usurper in the garden. When the transgression, or sex, occurred, Adam chose to accept Eve after she had fallen, and in doing so Adam also transgressed. Verse 15, Notwithstanding, she shall be saved, or delivered, or preserved in childbearing, if they continue in faith, or belief, and charity, or love, and holiness, or set-apartness, with sobriety. Women are not to teach or have authority over men. If the woman is reverent to her husband and to Yahweh, and if her children continue in belief, love, and set-apartness, she will be preserved. 1 Timothy 4:16 Take heed unto yourself, and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you shall both save, or preserve yourself, and them that hear you. Preservation for obedience. This verse is not saying our salvation comes by our own hand, or that we can save others. Rather, if you continue in what the doctrine teaches us, you will do well. The doctrine teaches our heritage, our history, the way to live, the appointed times to observe, the commandments to keep, the duty of being an anointed child of Jacob's. 1 Timothy 5:20 Them that sin, rebuke before all, that others also may fear. Rebuke publicly. The churches don't follow this example. They tolerate everything from race mixing to pedophilia. Titus 1:13 reads, This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in thee belief. Continuing with verse 21. I charge you before Elohim, and the Master, Yeshua Christ, and the chosen messengers, that you observe, or guard, take care of, preserve, these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. The Scriptures teach no tolerance of unrighteousness, nothing by partiality, why do the churches teach the opposite? Because the churches are factories for molding minions of darkness. 1 Timothy 6:20. O Timothy, keep, or watch, observe, guard, preserve that which is committed to your trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called, meaning falsely labeled knowledge. Titus 1:14 reads, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Verse 21, which some professing have erred concerning the faith, or the belief. Divine influence be with you. Amen. The doctrine of personal salvation, and that you can declare yourself saved, is an error concerning the belief. It's a Jewish fable. 2 Timothy 1:9. Yahweh, who has saved, or preserved us, and called us with a set-apart calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and divine influence, which was given us in Christ Yeshua before the world began. Although we must work towards the kingdom, performing works do not make anyone a child of God's. We are born children of God's. Abraham's seed through Jacob are the set apart or holy people. We are preserved when we follow the way of our heritage. Works is a reference to the rituals of the law, the sacrificial ordinances. These ended when Christ died. Verse 10, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Yeshua Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the nations of Israel, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep, or preserve, or watch over, that which I have entrusted unto Him against that day. Paul was not ashamed to teach through the sufferings of trying to get those ignorant Israelites to understand and remember their heritage. Verse 13, hold fast the form of sound words which you have heard of me, in belief and love which is in Christ Yeshua. That good thing which was committed unto you keep, or watch, or preserve by the Holy Spirit which dwells in us. Watch over the good deposit that was entrusted to you by the set-apart Spirit dwelling in us. The good thing which was committed unto us was the deposit of the set-apart Spirit. When we live righteously and according to the way, we are preserved by the Holy Spirit. In verse 10, and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Life is G-22-22, which means a life active and vigorous, devoted to Elohim, blessed, in the portion even in this world of those who put their trust in Christ, but after the resurrection to be consummated by new accessions among them a more perfect body, and to last forever. Accessions is the act of arriving at a throne, an office, or dignity. What it's referring to is our Shekinah glory bodies, which we will receive when we are placed into position of sons and daughters in the reign of Yahweh, because of our obedience, love, and knowledge and understanding, and following the way. 2 Timothy 2:10, therefore I endure all things for the chosen ones' sakes, that they may also obtain the salvation, or preservation, which is in Christ Yeshua with eternal glory. There is still no guarantee. The elect, or the chosen ones, still have to strive for allegiance in and imitation of Christ. Notice the word may in verse 10. If being saved was a done deal, then why are words like may and might used? Because if you come to truth and practice righteousness, you can still get lazy and stray. You can fall from grace. You can get blotted out. But your church doesn't teach those verses. 2 Timothy 3:13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. 2 Thessalonians 2:11. And for this cause Elohim shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. The church's saved doctrine is one of those strong delusions. If you don't use your God-given brain to examine what you are being taught and to discern what is good from evil, then you will remain ignorant and believe the misinformation. You won't see it, but you will be delusional and believe a lie. It is easier to fool people than to convince them that they have been fooled. Verse 14, but continue you in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them, and that from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation, or preservation, through the belief which is in Christ Yeshua. John 5:39 reads, search the Scriptures, meaning, don't just believe what your uneducated and deceived preacher tells you. Continuing with verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine, or beneficial for teaching, for reproof, or evidence, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of Elohim may be perfect, having prepared himself for all good works. The Scriptures are beneficial for correction, but apparently people who are saved don't need to be corrected, reproved, or instructed in righteousness. Claiming you're saved is the same thing as saying you are perfect, don't need to be corrected, and are fully instructed in righteousness. Yahweh looks down on the arrogant. 2 Timothy 4:14. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The master rewards him according to his works, of whom you should beware, or be on guard, or watch also, for he has greatly withstood our words. At my first defense, no man stood with me, but all forsook me. I pray Elohim that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the prince stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the dispersed of Israel might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the prince shall rescue me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. Psalm 121:7. Yahweh shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. Why does the King James Perversion use the word preserve in only some instances? They come from the same Greek words that read saved in the English that the churches claim mean that they are saved. Because no meaning of any of the words saved means what they say it means. In Timothy, Christ came into the world to make whole and preserve sinners who repent. One who repents is not immune to sinning again. Yahweh wants all his children to come to the truth, but only a few answer the call, and that Yahweh chooses who. We learn that a woman who raises her children in the belief will be preserved. To continue in sound doctrine which preserves you and those who hear, that claiming you are saved is vain babbling. We see that we must hold fast the word. If we don't, the Spirit cannot abide in us. The Scriptures is for us to be conformed to, for correction and for reproof. Scripture is not to be conformed by us. It is blasphemy to take the original words and meanings and twist them to mean something else. Titus 1:1. Paul, a servant of Elohim and an apostle of Yeshua Christ, according with the belief of Elohim's chosen ones and the acknowledging of the truth which is after reverence. Elohim's chosen ones are the children of the seed of Abraham through Jacob. Verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which Elohim, that cannot lie, promised before the times of the ages began, but has in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of Elohim our Savior, or Deliverer, Rescuer, Preserver. To Titus, mine own purely bred child after the common belief, divine influence, loving commitment, and peace from Elohim the Father and the Prince Yeshua Christ, our Savior, or Deliverer, Rescuer, Preserver. Paul wrote this epistle to Titus and warned of counterfeit doctrine. If the churchy saved doctrine were real, then why didn't anybody prophesy of it, teach it, declare it, or even imply it? Because it's a doctrine of devils, created by devils, pushed by devils, received by ignorant sheep, and turns them into devils, which get other sheep to become devils as well. Titus 2:9. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not talking back, not embezzling, or keeping back, or stealing, but showing all good fidelity, or loyalty, and belief, that they may honor the teaching of Elohim our Savior, or Deliverer, Rescuer, Preserver, in all things. For the divine influence of Elohim that brings salvation, or preservation, has appeared to all men, teaching us that rejecting ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present society, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great Elohim and our Savior, or Deliverer, Rescuer, Preserver, Yeshua Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might ransom us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. But didn't he already redeem or ransom us from all iniquity or sin already? Yes, from past sins. Our present and future sins, if and when we repent from them, because iniquity still abounds, and we all still sin every day in some way, whether we know it or not, which is why we must constantly seek, study, and learn the truth, repent, pray, and conform. This is how we are preserved. When people claim they are saved, they still live the same way, think the same way, and know the same thing they know. They didn't learn anything. They don't know Scripture, history, identity. They don't keep the Sabbaths and feast days. They don't stop eating pork. They don't even know God's name. Nothing has happened. Titus 3:3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceiving, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of Elohim our Savior, or deliverer, rescuer, or preserver toward man appeared, not by the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his loving commitment, he saved, or preserved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which he had shed on us abundantly through Christ Yeshua, our Savior, deliverer, rescuer, preserver. In the study on grace and mercy, we see that mercy is compassion and loving commitment. It is directly related to the covenant between Yahweh and Abraham. Our preservation is because of the promises made to Abraham regarding his seed. Our duty is our works, but our salvation is not because of us doing them. We are supposed to do them. Our duty is to know our heritage and preserve it, to know the laws and instructions and preserve them, to love our kinsmen and to support, encourage, exhort, teach, and fellowship with. Our salvation is because of the promise. Yahweh was going to destroy all Israel at Mount Sinai and start over with Moses' seed, but Moses reminded Yahweh of his promise. Not that he needed to be reminded, but just to prove a point. The promise was that a righteous, obedient remnant of each tribe of Jacob's would be preserved. But the churches don't know or teach this because they teach the false doctrines and lies that the Jews are the Israel of the Bible, and everyone else is a Gentile that is added to the promises made to Abraham by just believing and going around claiming they've been saved. In Titus, we see that we are servants of Yahweh. Servants are to be obedient to their masters, showing fidelity, which is allegiance, loyalty, and is what faith is. That the divine influence is towards all of his children, but he knows many will turn their backs. Many will follow for a little while and then turn their backs. He has repeatedly told us and shown us the way, and has given us the free will to choose whom we will serve. The ones that choose to serve him must serve him, not one of the 33,000 versions of him, which are not him. He knows which ones he will be destroying and which ones he will be preserving. Many are called, not all, but many. This means there is a group of our people that will never respond to the divine influence. But few are chosen. A few is a remnant. Remember Noah and his family? Remember Gideon and his 300? Remember the few seeds that took root in good ground? We see in Titus that we are renewed with the Holy Spirit. The Greek reads the end of verse 5 as, "He preserves us through the bath of again becoming," or of renaissance, "and upnewing," or renewal, "of the Holy Spirit." Renascent is an adjective and means springing or rising into being again, reproduced. The noun is the state of springing or being produced again. Renascible is an adjective and means that may be reproduced or spring again into being. This means that only one who was once something can be it again. Repentance is what allows us to be renascible again. Without repentance and a change of mind and ways, one cannot be renewed with or by the Holy Spirit. Are the people who are saved above the law more righteous than us or Christ? This is why Christ is our high priest and why we must come to him humbled and repentant, so we may clear ourselves of our errors and even missing the mark of duty in ignorance. You sin more than you think. We must watch and be sober or purified always, because we do not know when our master will return. We must be blameless and spotless. If you've lived many years since you were saved, Then you haven't had a bath since then. Hebrews 1:10. And you, Yahweh, in the beginning has laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. They shall perish, but you remain, and they all shall wax old as does a garment, and as a cloak shall you fold them up, and they shall be changed. But you are the same, and your years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits, or spirits of service, sent forth to minister for us who shall be heirs of salvation, or inherit deliverance? We are the heirs of deliverance, if we hearken to the voice of his word. Hebrews 2:1. Therefore we ought to give the more earnest attention to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should drift off. For if the word spoken by messengers was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. Of reward is not in the manuscripts. It should read, receives a legitimate recompense. Verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, or deliverance, which at the first began to be spoken by the Prince Yeshua, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Hebrews 10:28 reads, He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Matthew 4:17 reads, From that time Yeshua began to preach and to say, Repent, or change your mind, or think differently, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We will be punished for every transgression, even the transgressions in ignorance. We better repent and obey, and not just once. Don't drift off in your declaration of being saved, because your ignorance and self-surety will cost you your deliverance. Hebrews 2:10. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto honor, to make the originator of their salvation, or deliverance, or preservation, perfect through sufferings. He suffered for the truth, and he says, so will we. How do we become perfect through sufferings? By claiming we are saved? No. By being preserved through our suffering in this ungodly society, by honoring our duty to be obedient no matter what. Hebrews 5:7. Who in the days of Christ's flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto Yahweh, that was able to save, or deliver, or preserve him from death, and was heard in that he feared. The last part should read, And Christ was heard because of that devotion, or because of his reverent fear. The Greek has, And being heard, or hearkened to, from the piety. Verse 8. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation, or deliverance, unto all them that obey him. How many churchgoers obey him? What's to obey? The law was done away with. Why follow the feast days, appointed times, and heritage? That was for the Jews. This is the New Testament, and God loves us too, and promises us salvation too, because we accepted him. Notice that even Christ had to be tried. He revered the Father in his mortal flesh, tested just like us, and he was preserved during his life, and preserved for the sacrifice, and then he was delivered, not before. He could have kneeled before the devil in the desert. He could have had fun with fleshly desires. He could have partied it up while visiting Earth. But he prayed for strength and preservation. He lived righteously and without sin, setting the example we are to strive for, and in doing so, we are preserved during this same test. Christ didn't have to repent because he didn't sin. We do. We aren't saved yet. People who are saved still sin. They didn't achieve what Christ did, so how can they be saved already? See how arrogant, lazy, and disrespectful the church's saved doctrine is? They spit in Christ's face with their ignorance and self-surety. Revelation 3:15, I know your works, that you are neither hot nor cold. I would that you were cold or hot. The churches are lukewarm. They say they don't need works because they are saved. They don't need to know any more than what their preacher says on Sundays. They don't live a true Christian lifestyle, and for 7 days a week, because they don't know Scripture, the Old Testament and New Testament, because they are waiting for the rapture and a mansion in heaven. They tolerate everything, and the Scriptures teach not to tolerate. They just believe and eat pork and catfish. They don't observe the Sabbaths or feast days. They don't know who they are or whose they are. All they believe is false doctrine and support Israel and the Jews. Verse 16 of Revelation. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Because you say, I'm rich, or I'm saved, and increased with goods, or outward possessions, and have need of nothing, because his grace is enough. And know not that you are wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked, uneducated, missing the mark of duty, brainwashed, and without preservation, and heavily medicated. I counsel you to buy me gold tried in the fire, true knowledge and understanding of the Torah and reverence of Yahweh, that you may be rich in spirit and deeds, and white raiment, or unmixed white Adamic skin, that you may be clothed, or blameless, and in Shekinah glory, and that the shame of your nakedness, meaning nudum pactum, your being void because of deliberate and ignorant apostasy, do not appear, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, the anointed oil of the Word, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Be zealous and repent. These are daily practices which preserve you in this life. Hebrews 6:9. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that are involving salvation, or preservation, or deliverance, though we thus speak. For Elohim is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed or displayed toward his name, Yahweh, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Another verse teaching that works are necessary. Works are imitation of Christ's example. Your works are following his laws, the way, understanding your heritage, helping your kinsmen, bringing the gospel message to them, to edify the body, to be building the kingdom. If you are going around asking people if they are saved, and then show them how to partake in this delusion, then you are leading them into the same ditch you are in, and Yahweh will hold you accountable for their lives. This is why it matters who and what we believe. Chapter 7 goes over the priesthood. They were the mediators to God for the people, and they performed the sacrificial rituals. This is what was done away with. The priesthood and the ordinances of sacrifice expired. Christ became our high priest and mediator when he died. Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore he is able also to save, or preserve them to the uttermost that come unto Elohim by him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them. Christ is our intercessor, and not just one time, but as often as we sin and repent, which should be every day. There is not one day which goes by that we are 100% righteous. Those of the uttermost is referring to Israelites scattered all over the earth. This would be the Anglo-Saxon peoples of the white nations of the world, the lost sheep. Hebrews 9:27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation, or deliverance. We will all be judged, even those who think they are saved. The sheep know and understand that this life is a test. They seek knowledge and his presence. They observe his commandments and appointed times, and put forth effort to live righteously. The goats just believe, and have faith in their own declaration of claiming they're saved, and missing the mark of duty because they were lazy, arrogant, and thought they would be raptured because they accepted Jewish Jesus into their hearts. Sure you want to believe what your church taught you? Hebrews 11:7. By belief, Noah, being warned of Elohim of things not seen as yet, moved with reverence, prepared an ark to the saving, or deliverance, or preservation, of his family, by the which he condemned the society, and became heir of the righteousness which is by belief. An heir of righteousness is referring to the order of Melchizedek, or Melchizedek. After the flood, Noah became the eighth preacher of righteousness. He had true belief, obedience, and loyalty, and trusted in Yahweh. Noah's family was preserved through the flood. Saved in the Old Testament is the same as saved in the New Testament. Preservation, mortal preservation in this life. Saving is G 4991, soteria, the same word used in the verses the churches claim say that you can declare yourself saved. The churches do not care what Scripture says. Their faith is in the grammatically incorrect perversion of the Queen James Bible, which is nothing but a version of a version of a version, edited by a Freemason queer sorcerer. In Hebrews, we learn that our salvation is our inheritance, which was promised only to the children of Jacob. That we ought to pay more attention to the original word rather than slipping off and whoring around with another form of Christianity. That Yeshua is the originator of our mortal preservation and deliverance. That eternal salvation is to them who will obey Yahweh, meaning every law and instruction given from Genesis to Revelation, except the priestly ordinances and rituals. The priesthood and its oblations expired when Christ died on the pale. He became our high priest, and whom we rely on for our preservation. Praise Yahweh for his plan of our preservation and deliverance, and praise Yahweh for his Son, our Savior.
Angels sing over fields of light. There is born tonight a Son, a Savior. Joyful tidings are on the wing. A newborn King, a Son, a Savior.